Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Life, Love in Full Enlightenment, and tonight we're talking about domestic abuse and domestic terrorism, and we're going to use that word terrorism tonight in its proper state with regard to the situation that we're talking about. And I have my wonderful, wonderful, beautiful souls here tonight with me, my co-host, A. Michelle Grogan, Janet Hurd, and Sky Vaughn. Hello, ladies. How are you tonight?
Hello. Hello.
I'm good. Thanks.
Excellent. Tonight we're talking about how people quickly can go from reaching out their arms with their hands and their hearts within their hands to someone and receiving a black eye. Domestic abuse is anti-love. You can't say you love me while abusing me in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It's just an oxymoron. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. I know it's a pretty heavy topic, and people don't like talking about heavy things. And it's a very secret and private topic, and people don't like talking about secretive and private things. But domestic violence is something that we should not keep a secret about. It's not something that we should keep in private, because the abuser is counting on us not sharing that information so that we don't get help. So, as usual, everyone, we give out our area code and the last four digits of our number, or you can use your name. It's a safe space, and we don't run tail anything in here but the good stuff. So I'm going to open the floor up, and we're going to talk a little bit about how detrimental domestic abuse, and my choice of using domestic terror, is in a relationship. So I'm going to open it up to the ladies first.
Hello?
Hello? Okay, Bambi's trying to get back in. So bear with us for a second. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, thank you. You should be in a few seconds. Okay.
Hi, ladies.
Hey.
Hello.
This is A. Michelle.
This is. Yes. Yeah, so you guys can go ahead. I'm back.
Oh, okay.
I lost the signal on the phone, but I'm dialing in. So you guys go ahead and start the conversation while I'm working on getting it.
Okay. Was there a question? I'm just trying to. I think the last.
I was opening the floor for us to begin to speak about how detrimental domestic violence is. Domestic terror is in a relationship and the importance of speaking out and us being there to help and be supportive for one another.
Okay. Sky, did you want to open up?
Yeah, I can. I was thinking it's a subject that's really hard to get into because it has domestic violence has many faces and different nuances to it. And the thing that I kind of wanted to focus on with this topic is some of the things that come up in my sessions with my clients. And within the lesbian community, it's a lot bigger than I think most people imagine that it happens in our community. Is kept quiet. You know, I actually knew a couple that I had no idea that it had been going on for years and knew them personally, you know, and so a lot of times it's very quiet behind closed doors, but it's so damaging. It's so damaging. And I think part of what we're going to talk about tonight is the psychological impact it has on the individuals involved, the abuser and the one who's the recipient of the abuse, and how you actually feed each other in a very codependent way with that. So it's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to talk about. We're going to have to parse it out amongst all of us to kind of get to the core of some things. Hopefully the audience will participate and come in and give feedback and ask questions so that we're here to help. And so we're going to be looking forward to that, to audience participation.
Right. And there, you know, many times when we're talking about domestic abuse and domestic terror, people kind of limit it just to physical, but and there are a multitude of levels of domestic abuse. It can be emotional abuse. It can be financial abuse. It can be sexual abuse. It can be verbal abuse. It's so big, and it's so easy to write off that sometimes some people, you know, don't know they're being abused. They're really writing
exactly
off some of the things that are going on, because you know when someone calls you out of your name, most people take it as, oh, they were just upset, and they pass it, you know, they let it pass, and then it grows and it grows and it grows and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then all of a sudden you realize you're in this abusive relationship. You don't even know how you got there. You've been sitting back thinking, oh, they were just angry when they gave me that little name that wasn't that cool. And they were just really angry when they decided that they wanted our relationship to be one of I didn't have to work and they were going to be the provider, and then they took all of the money away. Because I didn't do something in the way that they wanted me to do it. All those are forms of abuse. So it goes a lot deeper than we think sometimes. And
yeah,
always, the floor is always open. Go ahead.
Yeah, something I wanted to point out, too, that came up in a session. A lot of people don't realize people who are passive-aggressive, you know, they're abusive. I mean, and a lot of people don't understand or see how that can be abusive, but it can be very abusive. when you have someone in a relationship who's passive aggressive, and it causes a lot of psychological pain for the one who's the recipient of it. So we can talk about that a little bit too, what that is and how it, the effects of it. Or the narcissist.
Anyone else on the camera?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Narcissist. Woo!
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyone else on the panel have any input on just starting to put some stuff out there for people to think about and feel comfortable and be all right with sharing? You know, because, again, it's not easy to share the fact that you're either an abuser or you think yourself to be an abuser or that you're being abused, because there's such a stigma on it. You're labeled so poorly when someone knows that about you that it'll even prevent a person from getting help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of times the abuser might not look like what you expect in a relationship. A lot of times, if it's male and female, a lot of times you automatically assume it's going to be the male who's the abuser. Not always the case. In a lesbian relationship, if it's a femme and an aggressive, automatically assume that it's the aggressive who's the abuser a lot of times. Not always the case. It's been some, I've had some really interesting experiences about that.
Well, a lot of aggressors will know that if there's an abusive relationship and neighbors, you know, decide that they're going to pick up a phone and call because they don't know what's going on. Many times aggressive or male-identified or masculine-centered lesbians will know what the deal is coming. When the police come in, the first people they're going to look at is that masculine-centered lesbian. Whether they're the aggressor or not, it's just assumed because they're masculine of center. So it's assumed that they're an aggressor. And you'd be surprised how many films are being abusive towards their more masculine identified or masculine centered partners, simply because they know that their partners are not going to hit them back or behave in the same manner because of the role. And the way the role is supposed to be, what you're not supposed to do and how you're not supposed to behave. So there are some studs and boys and butches and so on and so forth, whatever your label is, of masculine center that are really being horribly abused in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going unchecked.
Yeah.
For those that are not certain if they're in an abusive relationship, ladies, can we talk about some of the signs that people can look for to know if you're in an abusive relationship? Because if you grew up with that kind of behavior in your home, it may be normal to you. So you may not recognize that you're in an abusive situation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Guy, would you like to start that?
Some of the signs. If you are around the couple, a lot of times you can pick up certain things. I'm going to give you an example of the couple I knew I was telling you about that I had no idea. The AG, the aggressive, wore sunglasses a lot. Sunglasses all the time. When it wasn't any sun, she wore sunglasses or some type of, you know, tinted shade. And what made it worse was her partner, the femme, was a director of an abuse hotline. And come to find out, we didn't know until after the breakup that this director of the abuse hotline was beating her to the point where she was having black eyes. And we had no idea that was happening. It was so unbelievable to me that it wasn't until I saw pictures, you know, things like that I was able to believe it. And, you know, the excuse was, you know, she had a bad childhood, she had anger issues and things like that. But So I guess, you know, one of the signs, you pay attention to people, what they're doing. Subtle, a lot of times some will give subtle hints that something might be going on. But a lot of times, unfortunately, there are no signs. And they just keep it that much of a secret. But there are a lot of hotlines out there for abuse. If you need to call, there are a lot of hotlines out there. But it doesn't have a particular face. That's my point about it here. So you have to pay attention and listen, and you may be able to pick something up. And then some are very obvious. You might see bruises, you know, things like that. You know, then you can reach out and try to talk to the person, you know, alone, and see if they need your help in any kind of way. It's very tricky.
Some of the signs that I've witnessed and that I know to be so, and some of the signs I saw when I was counseling abused women and children, they tend to flinch sometimes when you move toward them really quickly because they think they're getting ready to be hit. They tend to be they don't go anywhere, they don't do anything, they're not talking on the phone. You start to notice that, you know, even your friends who used to hang out all the time, all of a sudden they are not going anywhere anymore and they're not picking up the phone and talking. They become extremely isolated, extremely withdrawn, extremely quiet. You'll see them, that some of them will start to go through a depression. The way that they handle, the way that an abuser may handle their victim, and that's what they do. They victimize the person in the way they grip the back of their necks, or the way to show that I got you yoked, I'm controlling you. The way they may, when they're talking, if they want to quiet them, it may be sometimes a look where you see them look up at the person and they just stop saying what they're going to say, all the way down to the way they may squeeze their leg in order to quiet them. They are in the way that they would be in full support, even giving support to some of the horrible things that their partner is doing out of fear that it may be turned on them. They may say things like, well, I can't go, I don't have any money, and Sam or Bobby or Barbara or Susan said that our money can be better spent elsewhere while Susan is doing whatever Susan wants to do with the money because Susan's got complete control of it. They could say things like, they could give you hints that they're being sexually raped even though they're in a relationship. Because people think you can't be raped in a marriage or you can't be raped in a relationship because the person has the right to that. No, you still have the right to say no. And anytime your partner continues on when you don't want it down to, when they're trying to give you a kiss and you don't want to have that kiss and they grab your face really tightly and take that kiss, all of those things, mm-hmm. when they get upset and even though they're in front of other people, they will just, you know, berate you up one side and down the other and in front of people, not even care, and call you out of your name and tell you to shut up and have you sitting in the corner like you're a kid. And all of those things are forms of a partner says something to someone and then all of a sudden they're withdrawn at a party. They can't talk. The other person is having a very good time. All of those are signs of abuse. And if you're with the people a lot, you start to see it, and it becomes so huge you can't even ignore it anymore. You find yourself wanting to say something, and what happens most of the time is friends tend to talk about it amongst one another as opposed to bringing it up to the couple because they think it's not their business, or they say, I fear saying something because maybe she'll get even worse, or he'll get even worse
when he gets home, well, first of all, abusers tend to not want anyone to know that they're abusing someone, and they're master manipulators. And those who don't care if you know still have a limit to what they'll see unless they just get completely out of control and think you're in support of it because you're really not standing against it. So they'll just start revealing it in front of you. So those are some signs that you can look for when you're throwing a dinner party. And I remember having drinks one evening when I was living in Philadelphia, a couple of couples, and we were there, and one of the members of the couple just started berating her partner. And, you know, when people would say something to her about her, you know, I said, you know, I'm sorry. I don't care how you talk to her in your apartment, but in this apartment, we all know what her name is. And unless it's a term of endearment, bitch is not appropriate. You know, it's just not appropriate. We're not going to sit here and let you, listen to you, call someone you claim to love a bitch. Or that twat, or that hoe, or that all of those, none of those are terms of endearment. And don't let anyone fool you into thinking that's a term of endearment. It's not. You can say it in fun. You know, some people use it in fun, but, you know, you catch a person on the wrong day when they're not feeling a certain way. Guess what? They're offended by it. Why? Because it's offensive language. And so they did that in a minute. We started acknowledging we see what you're doing. We understand what you're doing. She wasn't even allowed to talk. A brilliant woman, but wasn't allowed to talk. We see what you're doing, and you know, hold on, we want to hear what she has to say. Go ahead, say what you want to say. You know, she looked across the table at her with this stern look and said, no, you know, maybe it's not relative to the topic. And so when we turned that light on to what was happening, you know what we got? You're judging me. You're judging me. You don't have the right to judge me. Oh, no, I'm not judging you. I'm speaking on what it is that you're doing, and if you don't want me to speak on what you're doing, don't do it in front of me. Keep it private. But since you made it public, it's open for discussion. Now, anyone who knows me personally knows I would say just that, and I would mean just that, and that's what I meant. So if you're going to treat her that way, you're not going to do it in front of us. And now that we know you do it, we'll be checking in a little bit more. To see the cowards. Very few of them are as big and as bad as they present themselves to be, because that's a cowardly act, taking on someone that you think is weaker than you, or weakening someone so that you can pick on them and control them and induce fear in them so you can have your way, because that's all abuse is, getting control and creating fear so you can maintain control. Nothing about any of what I just said was loving. I hope I answered that question, Amy Shaw. I hope we answered that question.
Yeah, she did.
I see we have some more people that have dialed in. Again, we're talking about From an Open Heart to a Black and Die, domestic abuse is anti-love, and how we're also throwing in that term domestic terror. And I put that in there in lieu of what happened in Orlando, because because it's the gay community, they've figured out a way to make it about terrorists and really international terrorism. But this was a domestic terrorism act, and this was a close and at home terrorist act, because in lieu of all of the things that are coming out about the gentleman, he was gay. So that was him acting against his own, acting against people he should have something in common with, acting against
something that induced enough fear in him about himself that he would then try to control their destiny and their lives. And someone may say, well, Minister Dupree-Alvarez, how could that be anything like domestic abuse? Abuse. Oh, it's very much like domestic abuse. The numbers just smaller. Now you're just zeroing in on one individual person instead of a mass group. Because when you go in your home, when you walk into your home, that's your safe haven. You don't expect the person who you're sharing your safe space with, that you love, that you give your body over to. And there's a difference from taking something from someone and having someone to willfully give themselves over to you. One is about conquering. The other is about having a gift given. And here is someone you trusted, and they're taking advantage of you. You're drunk, and they're taking advantage of you. They're doing something to you intimately that you don't want done, but they do, so they do it anyway. And now you're fearful of them, and you don't know which way to turn. But it's, they say they love you. So we're talking about that because this is not something that's just a heterosexual epidemic. This is something that is running rampant in the lesbian and gay community. Yeah. They're fighting and being so abusive towards one another, you're going to jail. You're hurting one another. People are being killed by someone who said they love them. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're talking about, and that's why we're saying it's not good to remain silent about it, not the person who is being abused and not the friends who are sitting by saying it's not my business. You're my friend, it's your business. You're not trying to hurt me, you're trying to help me. You're my friend, it's your business. So I know this is a heavy topic, it's a hard topic, but sometimes when we get together to have these forums and these roundtables, we have to talk about some of the heavy stuff. We have to talk about some of the things that are deeply impactful in negative ways. Mm-hmm. Hey, Michelle, another sign, and I'm going to give the floor up after this and do some listening. Another sign of an abuser is when you sit down and you share your innermost secrets, some of the most hurtful things that have happened to you in your life, and that person absorbs it all and then turns around and uses it all. And while they're using it against you, they're reminding you that you told it to them. That I knocked you down and now I'm going to kick you while you're down.
Mm-hmm. And that's why your mama left you.
I thought I was well knowledge on domestic violence, because I do have a history of it, but I never knew that was a sign of abuse. I've experienced that a lot, and I never recognized that as being abuse. Thank you for that.
Is it something that can control you? Is that something that can control you? Is that something that will make you fearful? I'm gonna do the things to you that your mama did to you. Or I'm gonna do the things to you that your father did to you. Because that's what you respond to. That's what you like. Well, baby, I love you, and you know, and you have to stop making me do those things to you. You know, just to stop pushing those buttons where I come on.
That's abuse.
Mm-hmm. And it's tough for someone who loves someone and who, as A. Michelle said, experienced so much abuse in their life that they don't know that that's not a sign of love. You got some people say they hit me because they love me.
Mm-hmm.
No, they hit you mm-hmm. because they're controlling you. They hit you because they know they could do that. They hit you because it was something that made them feel far more powerful over you than they were feeling before they hit you. They out of control with their own selves. They don't have no control over themselves. They don't feel good about themselves. So what better way to feel good than to step on something that's smaller than them in their mind? In their mind. Not that's who you are, but in their mind. You come home, they come home from a hard day work, and everybody at their job is over them, and they feeling like they should be in a different place, and they keep telling me what to do, and they not treating me right. And you say, well, baby, you know, maybe you should find another job, and you get slapped in the mouth. You didn't do anything wrong. When I need you to say something to me, I ask you, boy, did I ask you anything? And see, people think that's a dramatization and I'm overreacting, but that happens. That happens in real life. I've seen somebody pull over, put their partner out of the car and drive away. And tell them, you need to get home and you need to get home before I do. And they in the car and they put the person on foot. And they trying to get home. Mm. They not weak. They're literally fearful because this person has convinced them that they can't survive without them.
So would that be considered a weak person, a weak-minded person, or a person just has such a low self-esteem about themselves, they actually buy into that theory?
Well, sometimes, Janet, I would say that some people have been through so much in life, and some people are just beaten down. You know, they're not weak. Everybody has a moment where they rise up. They're either going to rise up or they're going to lay down eventually. You know, so because a person, an abusive person, if you never rise up, if no one ever helps you out of the situation when you can't rise up on your own, they'll eventually kill you.
Well, I was speaking more of the victim.
With everything they get away with, they add to it. Mm-hmm. So
what happens
I
with
say that they,
the victim?
Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I say that they are not weak. They're fearful because they've been taught to be afraid. They've been taught not to speak up for themselves. They've been taught not to. Nobody is born a weakling. Even a baby will fight to get air. You know, if you try to cover a baby's mouth, you blowing in a baby's mouth. I see people, a baby crying, they're trying to stop the baby from crying, they're blowing in the baby's mouth. Well, that can choke a baby. And even that baby is trying to move their face because I'm thinking in their mind, they're like, this choking hit crazy. So they're even trying to protect themselves, but fear is something that you're trained into. Fear is not something you come into the world with. Fear is something that you're taught. Low self-esteem is not something that someone is born with. Low self-esteem is something that someone is taught to embrace. That doesn't necessarily make them weak. If everybody in your house every day said to you, you're ugly, and you're stupid, and you're never going to amount to anything, and that's all you ever hear, and nobody ever comes behind it and says, you're beautiful, you're intelligent, and you can be anything that you want to be, that person's not weak because they've embraced being stupid, being ugly, and not going to amount to anything. That's what they've been taught. And abusers speak out certain type of people. Abusers are not going to go get nobody strong. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go get anyone who's comfortable with themselves. They're not going to do it. Because you can't control a person who's strong. You can't control a person who's comfortable in themselves.
And you know, I say to that is, and what you're saying is correct. They're not going to just go seek out nobody strong. And I think for a lot of people, I might come off as weak because I'm very kind. I'm a kind-hearted person. You know, I'm an empath. You know what I'm saying? I'm very empathetic about, you know, with people and situations and circumstances and stuff like that. But where they get me wrong is when they try to, you know, do or mishandle me in any type of negligent way. That's when they see Shea Page. They see a whole other side of who they didn't know I was to be. So now, then after they do all of that, they turn around and say, now I see the real you. That's how you are all the time. No, it's not how I am all the time. You know, you can actually do things to actually push a person to their limit, you know. And then at that point, then that's when I would rise up, not to be abusive towards them, but I would probably just shut down and leave the situation altogether, because I see right now this person is the type. They have the ability to have me end up going to jail, and that's not going to happen. I don't love nobody that much, and I'm just being honest, you know, because I don't care how much I love you or whatever. If you have that ability and you constantly thrive on, you know, trying to see how much you can, you know, push me to the edge all the time, you know, to me that's very provoking. And for anybody that thrives on doing that all the time, that's somebody that I would just leave and wouldn't be with. And then they try to come after me or try to, just trying to be all different now. No, I see you for what you are, and I'm not going to deal with that. But you love me, and you said you love me. How do you just give up that quick, and how do you just leave somebody like that that you love, that you say you love? I love you, but I don't love your pattern and your behavior, and that's not acceptable to me. You know, I love you, but I love me more. So guess what? Toodaloo. I don't do that. That's not something that I stand there and just tolerate. I wasn't taught to be, whatever. And I can probably say I did. You know, being reared the way that I was, being humble and being, you know, turn the other cheek and all that kind of stuff. Yes, I was reared that way, and I took a lot of things off people, but people in turn saw me as probably being weak or, you know, just, you know, she ain't going to say nothing, just do this, or she ain't going to do nothing, just do that. You know what I'm saying? But that, you know, that had to change. That had to change. There's only so much I can taste, because I can feel that inner side, the inner part of me rising up. And it was making me angry for you to think you're just going to treat and talk to me any kind of way and I not do anything. I stand back and just allow you to do it. That was not going to happen. Nobody taught me how to stand up and be me. Something on the inside let me know that they can't just talk to you like that. You know, either you're going to tolerate them doing this to you or and just, you know, walk around like, okay, which way did he go? No, I'm not that type of person. I'm not walking around with a dunce cap on while somebody sit there and mentally, physically, emotionally, verbally, whatever, abuse me in any kind of way. Not going to do it. It's happened in the past, but it's not going to happen again, because if I don't stand up and take care of Janet, then nobody will. They feel like it's okay when you don't say nothing. Name calling, that's definitely out. You're not going to call me ignorant. You're not going to call me stupid. You're not going to call me you're an idiot. You're not going to call me bitch. You're not going to call me. You're not going to call me any of that. It's not acceptable, and I don't care. It's something down on the inside of me that will sprout up. I don't care how much I love you, because at this point, I don't see any love coming from you. And if I allow you to continue to do so, then I don't see any love for myself. I can't get mad at a person that's being abusive towards me if I'm allowing it, because, and then say, well, they don't love me. Well, then do I love myself from allowing it to happen? I'm just speaking of me. This is my experience. I'm not talking about nobody else. There's no way that I can allow somebody to sit there and be abusive or torment me any type of way, pulling me down, dragging me, making me feel some kind of way. Well, that's never going to happen. I don't care what your background was and what you went through. I can be there for you. If you need counseling, let's go to counseling. If you need help, if you need whatever, let's do it together. But you're not going to sit there and bash and pull me down and, you know, make me feel belittled or abuse me. That's never going to happen. Because I will see you toodaloo and you be gone, and I'm just not going to do it. So I don't blame anybody else, because somebody else might be on a whole other page. I'm just saying what Janet won't tolerate.
Let me throw something out at you and some of the things that you've been saying. There are some very successful people in life who are running major companies. Who have their life completely and totally together, that have fallen victim to someone in their life who loves them. It could be through an overbearing mother. It could be through a sister who seems weak with regard to doing things for themselves, but have mastered the art of taking advantage of others and having others do things for them. And when they're not having their way, can become extremely hurtful and harmful. And these are people who are running companies. These are people who have their lives together. These are people, by any measure of the people who know them, who don't get to see what happens to them behind closed doors or in certain rooms, think that they have it all together. And I'm not saying that they don't, but everybody is capable of falling victim to someone when you trust them and you've opened yourself up to them, and instead of them utilizing that opening for something good, they utilize it for something bad. For instance, If you say, tell me about yourself, and people do this all the time when they're getting to know people and they're trying to date them and so on and so forth, and I'm going to get some feedback from Amy Shell and Sky on what I'm getting ready to say, and Jenna, I also want you to talk on it also. But, you know, they get into that mode, tell me something about yourself, and I love this one. What is your greatest fear? What is the greatest fear you have? And I'm always leery of people who ask that question instead of letting somebody volunteer that. When somebody asks me, what is your greatest fear, I want to know why you need to know that. What you going to do with that information? But see, some people will share that and say that's a part of getting to know the person and understanding them. And somebody might flip up and say, my greatest fear is being rendered homeless. That abuser that they're in a relationship with, who they're in that house, who told them they don't need to work, because now I've taken away your income because I told you you don't need to work, so now you're relying on me financially. And who told them, you know, you don't have to do anything, I just want you to stay here and be a housemaker and blah, 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 and they don't get to have friends, and they have taken away any kind of support system, and now they say, get out. get out. Well, can I just know, get out right now. I want you out of here right now. This is mine. I want you out. The person who is fearful of being homeless will take at that moment anything that is being dished out because it doesn't scare them inside as much as they're going to be afraid if they step outside with nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
They're not weak. They were trusting. And an abuser counts on your trust. Anytime anybody uses any information against you, they're abusing your trust and they're abusing the information that you've given to them. That's not them not having any strength. You just hit them where they lived. You just hit their sore spot. You just took the wind out of their sail. It was like punching them in the gut as hard as you could. You took all of the air out of them because you just hit their biggest fear. You told them, get out, and they have nowhere to go. And had they been working and had their own money and had their own bank account and you weren't controlling all of the finances because you're being abusive, because you want to have power and control and you want to have all the power and control, the least they could have done was gotten a hotel. See, people got art to their abuse. And it's easy to make the victim feel as though it's something about them and they were weak and all those things. And tonight we're saying something's wrong with that abuser. And for those of you who are willing not to work and earn your own money, and you, when they're giving you money, my mother taught us the art of, she didn't always do it, but my mother taught us the art of mad money. So when somebody gets mad at you and they think they got something over you, so you can always say, I'm with you because I want to be with you, not because I have to be with you. I got my money and I'm gone. I got my mad money. See, all that money you was giving to me, and I ain't wasted. I wasn't a fool. I was very constructive and I was very smart with it. I kept it just in case because you were showing me some signs.
Mm-hmm. But I would see a person that have that fear, you know, if they had a fear of, you know, being homeless or being put out or whatever, seemed like to me, I know it would be for me, if I had a fear of being, you know, not having nowhere to go or homeless or put out or whatever the case may be, and I wouldn't allow nobody to tell me, well, you ain't got to work, or you ain't got to do this, you ain't got to do that or whatever. No, because fear will keep you, I'm like, no, I understand it, baby, I thank you, I appreciate it, but two incomes is better than one. Let's build. Let's do something. Let's make some things happen. You know,
Sometimes your desire for love and to be loved may outweigh your fear a little bit. I could see how somebody will give up their independence for love because they think this person loves them. Because an abuser grooms you really well. An abuser finds out what you desire the most and what you fear the most, and they strategically use those things to get you in a position where you are totally dependent on them for something, whether it's emotional support, whether it's financial support. And to be in a position where you allow yourself to be abused, you are lacking something. Whether it's low self-esteem, whether it's love, you're lacking something. So that lack causes you to chase love. And some of us will do anything for love, even surrender to our greatest fear just to be loved.
Yeah, but everybody's not going to do that. Some people might, but not everybody. I don't care how much they love, and I'm one of them. I'm just telling you because I'm super...
But there's no absolute in anything. There's everybody's not going to do everything. There is exceptions to every rule. But if you, we're talking about abuse here. So being a victim of abuse, a survivor, being victorious over that situation, you allow yourself to be in a certain position because you just want to be loved. Most people who don't long for that, or most people who don't have low self-esteem, they generally don't get themselves in predicaments like that. Most people who have low self-esteem are the ones that are subject to domestic violence, emotional abuse, financial abuse.
You know, hello, everybody. This is Dan. I hear what you're saying, Michelle, and it's true. But it's more than just self-esteem. Some of it is self-worth, too. To allow yourself to be abused, you know, have you valued yourself? What are you worth? You know, and then in order to be put in that situation, you have to have went through something to understand this is not nothing that you want to do. Some people don't have a compare or a contrast. They jump in with everything they got, and they don't matter where it ends up. They just jump in. And so if somebody's showing them something versus nothing, they fall crippled to it. But if you take a step back and look at yourself or look at the girl in the mirror and say, hey, I'm worth more than what they're willing to give me. And until they can actually see that, then they fall victim to a whole lot of stuff. But you putting your hand, you beating, you doing that and say you love me, my philosophy is this. You love money, but you don't see nobody burning it.
You're right.
You know, so don't bring that to me about you love me and you're going to put your hands on me because, no, that's not going to be cool. But guess what? In order for me to say that, I got to know not to put my hand on them too. It goes both ways. We become the victim, and then sometimes the victim become the abuser.
Agreed.
All that in one nutshell, Janet, I heard you. I understand that. And, you know, you've been there. You might have been there or not been there, but we have some that have never experienced a real relationship. A domestic relationship is part of what half of them know.
Yep.
You know, so as Cream said, Minister the Priest said, me being a friend to a person who's being victimized, should I sit back and allow that and not give them, you know, not try to talk to them and tell them, hey, you deserve better than that. We should. And a lot of us sitting back, like, I ain't got nothing to do with it. But if that's your friend, you should tell them.
It's nothing more than to offer, say, listen, when you're ready, I have a place for you. When you're ready, I will help you get out. Let me tell you what I did one time. And at the time when I did it, I didn't know I was putting my life at risk for a friend. But I did. And I had a friend who was in an abusive relationship. And she would talk about it all the time. We were on the phone one night talking, and her partner came in and just started beating on her. I got in my car. I went over to their place to get her because she said she wanted to leave. I went over to get her. I was met by the partners with a handgun in their hand, asking, why are you here? Came over to pick up my friend. Well, you're not needed. Well, let her tell me she doesn't want to go. Now, my friend could have headed me off by saying, don't come. She had a gun. But she didn't, because not only was she fearful for herself, But she was fearful for me. She was too scared to even warn me that I was walking into a situation. Now, that's why most people won't help. But I still said to them, if she says she does not want to come, then I can't force her to come. But I do ask you that you guys not fight anymore tonight, and, you know, maybe you can get a hotel, because this is not healthy for the two of you to do. Now, my friend didn't get in that car. She didn't get in my car. I drove back to my apartment without my friend, and the next morning, when her partner got up and left and went to work, she called me and said, I have my suitcases. Come get me. But at that moment, in that moment, she was scared. More for me than for herself, because she figured at that point that was a way for her partner to hurt her even more by hurting me, a friend who was coming to protect her. Are they together today? Yes, they are. For some of the very reasons I stated earlier. They don't want to be rendered homeless. That person controls all of the finances. They're still in that relationship. But we have to keep trying to get them out of their situations. We have to keep trying to get them into positions where they can know that they can make it on their own, because they have been taught that they can't. And again, don't be fooled. It got some people, Janice, that will be having the very conversation that you had and can wake up one morning in an abusive relationship. Now, they might not stay there forever, but they woke up one morning and found themselves in an abusive relationship. See, none of us are ever too strong to end up in an abusive relationship. We may be too strong to stay in one, but none of us are too strong and too mighty to end up in one.
Right, because you don't know. If you see it coming, you won't go there. But
you
I'm just glad that. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, so it's that stuff we're talking about, and that we are talking about building up. We want to build up your spirits. We want to reveal, we want to pull back the debris. We want to pull back all of the covers that have been placed over you to make you think that you are not beautiful. We want to tell you that you're wonderful. We want to tell you that you can be somebody. We want to build one another up. In the community. We don't want the women in the community, whether they're studs and feeling like they're embarrassed and they can't share that information. Some of them have been so broken that it happens in front of people, and they don't even, they're so broken, they're not embarrassed by it anymore. It's just the norm now. They have become comfortably numb by the things that are going on. And what we're saying is that your fist does not feel like a kiss. No matter how powerful of a kisser you are, someone's fist never feels like a kiss. A tender touch doesn't feel like a rough handling. You sexually... being sexually abusive towards me tears tissue. It doesn't cause the body to willfully make adjustments, expand itself, and bring you in. it causes the body to tense up and try to keep you out. You didn't love me when you tore my tissues and caused me to bleed. You weren't loving me. You were hurting me. So we can't convince ourselves or allow the abuser to convince us of the horrible things that they inflict upon us as something that's good and loving. And we get so many ideas and notions and concepts from society and videos and movies and songs and all of that stuff to where we think all of that stuff is cool and all right, and we no longer know when we're being abused. We're taking some things that are forms of abuse and thinking that it's normal. Why not? The song said it. Beat it up. Beat it. It's soft tissue. It's soft tissue. Beat it. And let me leave us with something that we really need to think about, especially when we're in bed with lovers. Genitals retain trauma better than the mind. Your genitals retain trauma it receives far deeper and stronger than your mind. I say that because you can take yourself out of yourself when something is happening to you mentally. When something is happening to you physically that is causing you dis-ease and pain, while you may take yourself out of it intellectually, your genitals stays intact with what is happening. And it retains that, which is why some people who have been raped and molested, whether they love you, whether they want to be with you or not, even though they realize that you are not the attacker and you are not the abuser, their body will not give itself over to you. They will, their genitalia will not do what it does when it wants to give itself over. It won't get wet. It won't. It won't bring you in. You see, all right, I'm a minister, but I do take things in real and truthful ways. The vagina is a sucking mechanism. It will pull in what it desires. You don't have to push it in. It will pull in what it desires to have. Trauma will make it leave you outside of the temple. It won't respond no matter what you do. It will not respond to you because it will retain even when the mind has forgotten. So beat it up. Nah, worship it. Worship it. So see, we even sometimes use abusive terms about things that's supposed to be soft and loving. Because after all, ain't no passion in that soft love making stuff. I don't know where you been. Because there is. You just ain't doing it right.
Apparently.
So, you know, we have to start to recognize things for what they really are and make no excuses for it. And what we don't want to do is make a person not want to open up and share what's going on. We don't want you to be silent about it anymore. We want you to talk about it. We want you to feel safe. We want you to feel comfortable. A part of what we do here every Thursday is create an environment where you are free to talk about any and everything. Let us not forget the last Thursday of the month is open mic. You can ask whatever you want to ask, and we will do our very best to engage you in your question and give you the best answers that we have at the moment. And if we don't have it, we will come back to you the next week with it. Any other statements, any other questions out there? I see you guys sitting out there. You guys, I'm gonna break you in. One day, I'm gonna bring this stuff to the real, and we're gonna all be sitting in a room looking at each other, and you're not gonna be able to be so quiet. You won't be hiding behind your phone or the screen. I'm gonna get you one day. Trust me on it. Any comments from any of the listeners out there? Okay, so I'm going to ask my co-host to start wrapping things up, and let's give people some things to walk away with that can help them. And while we're doing that, I'm going to get the national hotline out for us, and we're going to give that number out for people who are looking for help and looking for a safe place to go. So let's begin with A. Michelle. Hey, Michelle, you still out there?
I was trying to unmute my phone. Sorry. I just want to give the listeners this to walk away from. Being in an abusive situation is nothing to be ashamed of. The abuser wants you to be ashamed and to be scared and to be totally dependent on them for your next breath. That's how they maintain control. Leaving is never easy. But reach out to someone and start the process slowly. Talking to one person, seeking groups to help you escape. You don't have to stay trapped in that situation. I've been there. I've survived it. And it is possible.
Janet?
Well, I'm going to ride with A. Michelle on that one. I agree with everything she said, and that pretty much sums it up for me. I don't want to be with, you know, repeating the same thing over. So, pretty much what she said.
I'm going to get you two one of these days.
Guy. Yeah. Not so much that I want to leave anything, but I just want to put out to you, Minister. I think this can be a part two and perhaps a part three. I think there's so many dynamics to this. We kind of put it out there tonight and opened it up. There's a lot of ways. There's a lot of faces of abuse. And, you know, in your scheduling, I think if we can do like a part two or part three and break it down a little bit more, I think would be helpful because it's a lot. It's a lot. This is a very, it's a hard topic to talk about. So that's just all I want to leave with it. Perhaps we can talk about it more in future sessions.
Well, I'm open to that. Is everyone here open to that? Everyone on the line open to that?
I certainly am.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, go ahead. I do want to share the National Domestic Violence Hotline with everyone, and they can also refer you to some local places and local numbers. The National Domestic Violence Hotline number is 1-800-799-7233. 1-800-273-7233. And for the hearing impaired, it's 1-800. That was crazy. You can pass it on to your friends who are hearing impaired. I also have it up on Life, 787-3224. I want to say that I think silence can be a killer, and that I love everyone enough to believe that you should live and live life to the fullest. And if there's any way that I can help you within my means, my door is always open, and you can find me on Life, Love, and Full Enlightenment on Facebook and Creme de la Creme, although there are a million. Hit me up, and I'll click you in onto my page. Also, you can click a follow link on the Life, Love, in Full Enlightenment logo that comes up every Thursday, and you can click onto that and get into the show and click follow. That way you have information and access, and we can start disseminating some other things, because there are other things that we can branch this out into, and it's all about giving an opening and a need to everyone who's dialing in and calling in, and even to my co-host, if there's something that you have, you see a need for and a venue for, we have some openings here on some other days for some other shows. So I wanted to leave you with that, and I wanted to say again, your fist never feels like a kiss, and a soft touch never feels like razors. Understand your love, know your love, command your love, and you'll be loved. I wish everyone the best. I want to thank everyone for listening in. Once again, invite your friends. If you see it's something useful for yourself and useful for friends, please, we are open. We have no limit to how many people can listen. And we have up to 50 lines where people can ask questions and speak. See you next week, same time, same place, and a new topic. Thank everyone for coming tonight. Enjoyed you. And I hope you have a blessed night.
All right, good night.
Good night. Oh.